Tonight's reading is from the second letter to Timothy. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage. With great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather round them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Do your best to come to me quickly, for Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, because he is helpful to me in my ministry. I sent Titus and Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, and my scrolls, especially the parchments. Alexander, the metal worker, did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will repay him for what he has done. You too should be on your guard against him, because he strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them, but the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Priscilla and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Aretas stayed in Corinth, and I left Trophimus ill in Miletus. Do your best to get here before winter. Eubulus greets you, and so do Pudens, Linus, Claudia, and all the brothers and sisters. The Lord be with your spirit, and grace be with you all. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, as Tim said earlier, we come to the end of our series in Timothy, and it's been a great letter, a great series. And we come now to a very poignant and personal final chapter, because Paul knows that his death is approaching. He's not sure how long he has left. He says in verse 6, "For I'm already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I have kept the faith." It's not that Paul was an old man, but that he's in prison, and he's probably awaiting a second trial when he expects to be sentenced to death. And Paul's looking back on his life. He's passing on the baton to Timothy, this young pastor that he's been mentoring. You may have heard me talking before about Nine and Tide. That's Welsh for grandma and grandpa. Nine and Tide are Howell's parents. And I guess about 10 years ago or so, when they were in their their older age, they wrote to each of our children a letter setting out their lives and what they've learnt along the way. And it struck me as a very loving and caring thing to do. And I know that Hugh, our younger son, when he was abroad in Rwanda, he rang up, I think, Nine and Tide and talked to them about their lives and how they made life choices and how they were guided and led by God, so that he learnt from them. So Nine and Tide have been really important people in our children's lives. They've shared their life and how they passed on their wisdom. And there's something very special about elderly people passing on their wisdom to grandchildren. I wonder if you have had that experience. I haven't experienced that from my grandparents, but there have been others, people who have been mentors or guides to me. So in this passage, Paul does three things, and things that are important to him. First of all, he looks to the future. He gives a solemn charge to Timothy. He looks back on the past. He reflects on his life. And then thirdly, he looks around to those that are important to him. And he closes with some quite personal words about people who've been significant for him. So let's first of all look at his charge to Timothy, looking to the future. So his words are, be prepared, or preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. The word preach there means to announce or proclaim the word. In Greek, the word, the Greek word for word is logos. It's a word used about Jesus. So preach Jesus, proclaim Jesus, speak about Jesus. Speak about him in season and out of season, i.e. when it's convenient and when it's not, when it feels comfortable and natural and when it feels awkward and difficult. We are to be those that speak about Jesus. Timothy is to be prepared. At one level, this is a word to all of us who are preachers and teachers in the church, and it feels like a big responsibility to take seriously. It can take hours of prayerful and careful preparation to prepare to preach and deliver. But at another level, I think we all need to be ready to talk about Jesus on the bus, on the train, at university, at school, at work, at home. Paul encourages Timothy to go about doing this ministry that he's been called to, especially as an evangelist. Verse 5, he says, do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. He says then it's not going to be easy. Timothy needs to keep his head and endure hardship. Christian ministry is not easy. And Paul's charge to Timothy is to be faithful to the truth, not to just say what people's itching ears want to hear. He is to correct and rebuke, as well as to encourage and exhort. I think it's really hard to say tough things to people, to call them up on attitudes or behaviours that are wrong. If you're a parent, if you're a small group leader, a mentor or guide, you may need to do this. I know I find it very hard. Verse 3, Paul says, there's coming a time when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they'll gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear, and they'll turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. It's very easy to trim down the message to general platitudes, to just say the things that people want to hear. And Paul warns people won't be responsive to teaching sound doctrine. It's perhaps like going to the doctor with a problem, and the doctor directs you to follow a strict diet, Maybe it's to cut out all dairy produce, cheese, ice cream, yogurt, chocolate even. Maybe this is not what you want to hear, and maybe you're tempted to get a second opinion or even to find another doctor. You get people, don't you, who are perhaps what we call church hoppers. As long as the preacher's telling them what they want their ears to hear, they're okay. But then when they're faced with a challenge they don't like, their response is, I'm all right as I am. There's no need to change my behaviour or obey these rules. I don't have to believe all that stuff about Jesus. Or I'll try somewhere else. It's time to ask ourselves, are we being or in danger of being complacent with the truth? So the charge Paul gives Timothy is a serious one. The context in verse 1 is being in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom. So that's what the charge to Timothy is, as Paul looks to the future and looks to handing over the baton for the responsibility of this ministry that's been established to keep people true to the words of Jesus. So secondly, he encourages, or he looks back on the past. He says, I have fought the good fight, I've finished the race, I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And these actually are Paul's last recorded words. He can look back on his life and be at peace. He knows that he has kept the faith. He's finished the race. It hasn't been easy. It's been a battle. He's been flogged. He's been shipwrecked. He's been imprisoned. He's been falsely accused. He's been betrayed. In verse 16, he says, at my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. He's been deserted by his friends. But he says he didn't stand alone. He says, the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength. People will let us down. People will disappoint us. John Piper, who taught at a teaches at a theological seminary in the States, said this of people letting you down: don't use it as a reason to walk away from the one who will never let you down. So often people give the excuse on giving up on faith that they've been let down too many times by other people. I thought that was an important word. Don't use this as a reason to walk away from the one who will never let you down. Paul's faced spiritual attack. He says, I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. We're not sure what spiritual attack was, but he felt like it was the lion's mouth. Elsewhere, we're told that the devil is like a roaring lion seeking to devour whom he can. Paul's ministry has been hard. Life has been hard. But he can testify that Jesus stood at his side and gave him strength. That's also the countless witness of countless other men and women of God. Many have been spurred on by these words of Paul. I have kept the faith. Like Paul, they can anticipate the crown of righteousness that the Lord, the righteous judge, will put on their heads. The third thing that Paul does in this chapter is to look around. He looks around to those who've been part of his ministry. It's tempting, isn't it, to think of Paul as a strident, outspoken warrior of God. Maybe that's how he was as a church leader, zealous to establish, to guard and nurture the fledgling churches that he'd set up. But in these last verses, we see another side of Paul. We see the vulnerable side of him. He was abandoned. He was deserted by Demas, who loved the world, we're told, and has gone off to Thessalonica. You can almost hear the disappointment in Paul's voice. Crescens and Titus have also left for ministry elsewhere, and Paul sent Tychicus to Ephesus. It's tough when a team or working partnerships are split up. There's been a number of changes on the staff team here over the last few years. People retiring, people getting married, people going off for theological training or to start the next stage of ministry in their own church. And I'm aware that as I retire from my position here as associate vicar at the end of January, that will bring further change. And that's tough, especially for Steve. He doesn't often speak about it, but being a church leader who invests in others makes you vulnerable when they move on. And I'd love to encourage you to pray for Steve, particularly, and the staff team in these changes. Paul says, then there's Mark. He and Paul had parted company after some sort of disagreement with Barnabas. You can find that in Acts chapter 15. Mark went off with Barnabas in one direction and Paul took Silas in another direction. But here, Paul encourages Timothy to bring Mark with him. He obviously bears no grudge or resentment. Then Paul has borne the brunt of opposition. He says, Alexander, the metal worker, did me a great deal of harm. He strongly opposed our message. There will be those that make life hard and painful. Things do not always go well. People go off the rails, relationships break down, and then there's opposition and people let you down. There is illness and bereavement. Paul left Trophimus ill in Miletus, and he asked Timothy to greet Priscilla and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. There's some speculation that maybe Onesiphorus himself had died. Why does he not mention him, but just mentions his household? But Paul longs for Timothy to try to come to him. He wants to see him once more, one more time. He longs for him to come before winter, perhaps the season when boats no longer sail between Ephesus and Rome. And if and when he comes, Timothy is to bring Paul's cloak and his scrolls and parchments. He may be imprisoned and close to death, but he still hungers to read and study the scriptures. So all in all, this is a very poignant and moving chapter. I wonder how it speaks to us today. As a church congregation, we're changing. I think particularly, in the evening as I look out on this congregation, it's changed a huge amount since I came 4.5 years ago. There's not so many grey hairs anymore, or bald heads, one or two, but lots of students, young adults, lots of perhaps Timothy's out there or Priscilla's out there. Steve gave a word about feeling God was calling some to the teaching ministry. And there's a sense of the baton being passed on. I think Steve's very good at encouraging younger people to have a share in the teaching and preaching ministry. So will you accept Paul's charge for yourself to preach the word in season and out of season, and to do so faithfully? It's not just about being up front. Will you rebuke and correct as well as encourage, particularly if you lead a small group or mentor someone or come alongside them just as a concerned friend? Ministry is hard. Are you feeling burnt out? Are you ready to give up and accept a quiet life? Are you feeling let down? Are you feeling disappointed? Have you taken a few knocks and bruises along the way? Well, as we come to communion tonight to feed around God's table and eat the bread and drink the wine, it's a time to be honest with God, to tell him how you feel. Maybe get someone to pray with you, either someone that you came with or maybe somebody on the pastoral prayer team. But as you come to the communion, be fed by him, be strengthened by him, to persevere, to fight the good fight, to be faithful to the end, despite the challenges and difficulties and hardships that you face. Paul signs off his letter like this: "The Lord be with your spirit, and grace be with you all." Amen.